We praise God for that. But we're in Luke today, amen. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 12. Let's look at that together. Amen. It says, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Mm-hmm. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Amen. We're praying over the word. Father, we thank you for the word that was just read in our hearing. We pray now, God, that you will open up our eyes to see and to receive the truth of your word, your scriptures, oh God. Father God, let it penetrate our hearts. Let us come away with wisdom, knowledge, and with understanding. And Father, let us come out with an obedient spirit to walk out this word, that Father God, we may be blessed by it. And Father God, we may be drawn closer to you. Father, we right now set our hearts, our minds, our ears at full attention to hear what thus saith the Lord. Speak, Lord, thy servants heareth. And Father God, we thank you that we are not only hearers, but we are doers of the word.
Yes,
and we give you the praise and the glory for that. Have your blessed way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we're going to talk, amen, about the pathway to an ever-increasing life. Amen. The pathway to an ever-increasing life. This is something that I believe is just really practical, but it's also so important for us in the church. Amen. Because if you've been in the church, you've been following God, you're saved, you read the word, you live for God, you know that Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that more abundantly. That's in John 10 and 10. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amplified version actually says that Jesus said that he came that we might have and enjoy life in abundance.
Amen.
To the full, till it overflows. Think about that. I mean, that's powerful stuff. I came that you may have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. And yet, if you were to ask many people in the church, many people who are saved, if they're honest, they would concede that they are not living a life of abundance.
Amen.
There's the overflowing to the full till it overflows. Those are words on the page that they may say it doesn't match my life. There's so much more that many Christians want out of this life. Amen. And it's not just about money, right? So many times we think about, oh, do you want more? We think money. But it does include money, because I believe that money is at the top of a lot of people's list if you say, what do you need more of?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Who here could use some more money?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, it's just, I don't know why that is. Some, maybe you're not making enough. Some, maybe you're spending too much. God knows. But we, you know, money is there, amen. But it's not just money. You know, it's not money and possessions only. You know, it's things like good health. That's part of the abundant life, right? Having happy and healthy relationships is part of the abundant life. Having the peace of God.
Yes.
Peace in your heart and peace in your mind. You know, yeah. Being settled. That's part of the abundant life. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not just money, but, you know, we want to be healthy. We want to have healthy relationships. How many people want healthy relationships?
Amen.
With their children and with their spouse and with their family and friends and co-workers. That's part of an abundant life.
Yes.
Amen. Having rest in the Lord. How about that? Amen. Yes. Having rest in the Lord where we're not wired up and amped up and concerned and anxious and worried, right? But our spirit and our soul is at rest in God.
Yeah.
That's part of the abundant life, amen. It's part of that increasing life that God wants us to have. But for many, this seems like a pipe dream, right? Because your life is all crazy, you're running around, right? Don't have enough this, don't have enough money, don't have enough time. The people in your life get on your nerves. Little peace, can't sleep. I'm just telling, listen, I'm saying things that I hear people tell me. How many of you know people tell you what's going on in their life?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'll tell you. You don't even have to ask them, brother. They'll tell you, I couldn't sleep last night. I didn't ask you that. Co-worker, come up to you, man, I couldn't sleep last night. Okay. Amen. And people come telling you stuff. They tell you about their kids. How many of your co-workers tell you about their kids messing up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble with that boy. Right? People tell you, so I'm just telling you what I hear people say. I'm talking about people of God. And it's like, you know, things are out of order. Family is this. Wife treating them this way. Husband doing this. Job is doing this. Money is acting this way. Bill collector doing it. Right? There's all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I step back and I go, well, where's the abundant life? But here's the thing. Our lives can change for the better, right? And that change can begin right here, right now, today.
Amen.
And the first thing we're going to have to do is acknowledge and start walking in a principle that's pretty simple, right? And we read it in the text today. And here's the principle. Whatever you and I have, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, whether it's great or whether it's small, whatever it is that we have, we must be faithful with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man.
We must be faithful with it. See, because when we show God that we appreciate whatever it is we have, either a lot or a little, what we show him is that he can trust us with it. And when we show him he can trust us with it, whether it's money, a house, a job, marriage, family, whatever, then we position ourselves to receive more from God.
Hmm.
Because God is looking to see how you deal with the lesser before he gives you the greater.
Yes.
God is looking to see how you and I deal with the little before he gives us a lot. And I hear, and I've heard, and you probably heard, and sometimes we may be guilty of this ourselves, where there are times when we want stuff that's better than what we have, when we're not taking care of what we have.
That's true.
Wow.
And that's not how it works.
That's right.
Because God is looking at you and me and seeing how we're caring for the things that we already have, to see whether we're qualified to get more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so we have to realize, and so sometimes we don't have it, we look to God. God holding back. It must not be God's timing. I believe God wants to give you something today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That the only reason why I might not receive it today, you might not receive it today, is because we haven't shown him that we're ready to receive it today.
That's right. That's right.
Because let's start with this. God is a giver.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God's a giver. And he wants each of us as his children, he wants us to have the very best. Right? In fact, he gave us the very best when he gave us his son. God so loved the world that he did what?
Gave.
He gave. Mm-hmm. He gave his only begotten son. God's a giver. And the scriptures tell us just how much God gives. If you go through the scriptures, I mean, the scriptures will tell you things like God gives life. And God gives wisdom, right? He gives it freely and he upbraids us not. God gives peace. He gives a peace that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. God gives grace and glory. God gives light.
Yeah.
God gives strength. God gives victory.
Yes.
God gives beauty for ashes.
Yes.
Oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit
yes.
of heaviness. Amen. God is a giver.
Yes.
God gives us a hope and a future. God gives us the desires of our heart.
Yes.
I mean, you look through the scripture, God is a giver.
Yeah.
In fact, he even says that God gives us all things richly to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 8:32 says that God, who didn't spare his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Mm-hmm.
So God's a giver. So if we're lacking in our lives, it can't be God the giver that's the problem.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It can't be God the giver who's the problem. We have to at least be honest and humble enough to say, you know what? I need to examine myself.
Yes, yes.
What am I doing that the thing... See, our default position should be this. I know God wants to give me that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
I know God wants, I know God wants to give me better. I know God wants to give me more. I know God wants to give me more peace and more joy. I know God wants to give me more strength and more wisdom. I know God wants to give me more of an anointing. I know that.
Yes.
And if I don't have it, then what's the matter?
Wow.
So just need a little bit of self-examination. So one of the things we want to do in this here, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 10, is look at this principle, right? He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So God says this, if you're faithful with small things, you're going to be faithful with bigger things.
That's right.
But there's a flip side to the coin that works the same way. But if you're unjust in the small things, then you're going to be unjust in the bigger things. So guess what God is saying? If you show yourself faithful in small things, you are telling me and showing me I can trust you with bigger things. But oh, if you're unjust with the small things, then I know I can't trust you with bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is simple. God's not going to reward injustice. So if I can't be trusted with a dollar, God's not going to give me 10.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, come on, this is not hard. If I can't be trusted with a dollar, God's not going to give me 10. But if I show God that I can be trusted with a dollar, God will give me 10. And if I show God I can be trusted and faithful with 10, God will give me 100. And if I show God I can be faithful and trusted with 100, God will give me 1,000.
Yes.
And on and on and on.
Yes.
And so part of us, amen, and I know this may be a hard thing, but if money tight and then all that kind of stuff, sometimes you gotta say, what am I showing God of how I act with my money?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't understand. I just don't make enough. Mm. If I made more, I do more. You know people say that? If they make more, they give more. If they made more, they give. No, you wouldn't. Given the heart condition, it's not an economic condition.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That woman had 2 mites. She gave all she had. She didn't say, if I had more, I'd give 2 mites. Right?
Amen.
She gave all she had. It's a heart condition. But it's not, again, it's not just about money. It's all about what about your time and other resources that God gives you. So God has a principle. If you're faithful in that which is least, you'll be faithful also in much. Now, remember the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where he gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, 1 to another. And to the one he gave 5, he went out and made 5 more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what did he say to him? He said, you have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many.
Mm-hmm.
See how God works?
Yeah.
I'm looking at what you do with the little bit you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking at what you do with the little bit you have to see whether or not I can give you more.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because if you're faithful with few, I'll make you ruler over many.
Yes.
Luke told that same parable in Luke chapter 19. In fact, if we can turn there real quickly, because it's only 3 books over. If we look, 3 books, 3 chapters over. If we look at Luke 19, verse 17... Luke didn't call it the talents. He called it the parable of the pounds.
Yes.
And in verse 17, he said to him, the one who the first one had, he took his pound and he gained 10 pounds, it says in verse 16. And in verse 17, the Lord said to this servant, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little,
mm-hmm.
have authority over 10 cities. So you see how God works? See, some of us say, I have too little. But God's watching how you do with that very little that you have.
That's right, that's right.
He's not despising the very little. He's watching how you and I deal with the very little.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when we show him that we can be faithful with the very little, then that's telling him you're ready for the much more.
Exactly.
Amen? You're ready for much more. Because you have been faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. God looks how we handle the little to determine if we're ready for more.
Amen.
So here's the thing. Here's the first principle. Let us show God that we can be faithful and trustworthy with what we have. And if we do that, he will freely give us more.
That's right.
As I said earlier, though, many people say, though, amen, I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about folk in the world. I'm talking about believers who will say if they had more, then their behavior would change. I'd be more faithful, more trustworthy, more generous. If I had more money, I'd give more. No, you wouldn't. If I was making more money, if I had, what about this one? If I had a different or better job, or if my boss was paying me more money, I'd work harder. You ever heard of that one, Brother Les?
No, all the time.
Brother Les, the business owner, so I know you heard that one. If I was making more, I'd work more. That's not how it works.
Amen.
That's not how it works. Amen. If I had a bigger house or a newer car, I'd take better care of it.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. God is looking at how you and I handle our hoopty. Remember that they used to call it that? The hoopty?
Yeah.
The hoopty was the car that, you know, you were running on Maypops, right? You didn't have Goodyear, you didn't have Maypops. Because, you know, them tires, Maypop! At any minute. What kind of tires you got? I got Maypops. Amen. Hoopty, you drive on Maypop, you don't know if you're going to get there or not.
Amen.
Right?
Maypops.
But God is watching how you and I handle the hoopties in our life.
That's right.
To see whether he's going to upgrade us to something else.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, because it is about showing him that you appreciate it. Amen. And if you appreciate it, watch this. You're going to take care of it.
That's right.
You're going to take care of it. But see, when we think this way, if I had more money, if I had a better job, if the boss paid me more, if I had a newer car, then I would take care of it better. I would be a better employee. I would be more generous. When we think that way, it shows, in some ways, that explains maybe why that person doesn't have more.
That's right.
Because that's not how it works. God is looking to see what we take care of or how we take care of what we already have before he gives us something.
Sure.
Now, let's talk about some real life things. And I'll tell on myself in a way, hopefully, that will allow you to put your guard down and at least be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not honest in this area, then God's not going to be able to help us.
That's right. That's right.
So here's the question. It is a real life question, amen. How well do you take care of or care for the things that God has given you? That's a, right? Wherever you live, home or apartment, how well do you take care of it? You got a new car or a used car? How well do you take care of it? What about your job? High paying job, low paying job, somewhere in between. How faithful are you in it? What about all your other possessions? Your clothes, your jewelry, your shoes? Amen? How careful are you to take care of those things? Now, I'll give you an example. God blessed us to buy a house, right, years ago. And when we bought our house, we had, what they call it? Is it called formica? The countertop?
Yeah.
We have formica countertop.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of years, the formica countertop, they must have had an argument because they got separated. Right? It popped up.
Yes. Amen.
We put crazy glue on it. We put Gorilla Glue on it. You ever use Gorilla Glue?
Yeah.
We put Gorilla Glue on it. And every now it would stay for a while, then it would pop back up. This is our kitchen now.
Yes.
Man, there were times we had to put Scotch tape.
That's right. You're talking truth.
Amen. And so, but years went by, and man, a few years after, you know, God allowed us to redo our kitchen, and we put granite countertop. And I remember talking to my neighbor during the time that we had formica countertop, and he had a granite countertop, and he said, man, I had to call people in because my granite countertop cracked. Mm. Whoa! Wow. But then we started getting granite countertop before it was put in. I started doing research, and I saw something. That granite is a funny thing, right? It's a stone countertop. Watch this. It's made out of stone. Stones are porous. How many of you know?
Yeah.
That means that they can take in liquid. So one of the things I read was, you have to seal your granite countertops every 6 months. Am I talking right?
Yeah.
You got to seal your granite countertops every 6 months. Why? Because otherwise water will get in it and will cause it to separate and crack. So I'm thinking, I wonder why. I wonder if that's why his countertop cracked. So here's the thing. So now when God took away the formica, and gave us granite. Guess what I did? I'm going to take care of that granite countertop.
Yes.
Amen. Why? Because I'm glad I have it. Right? So what am I saying? See, sometimes we ask God for things, and God will give us the better, but do you take care of it once you have it?
Exactly.
Wow.
Somebody said, I want better clothes. God gives you better clothes, and the care label says dry clean only. Why are you taking that out of your washing machine? The care label says wash in cold with light colors. Why are you washing it with warm water with all kinds of colors?
Yeah.
Amen.
Why do you think they call it a care label? Because it's helping you to do what?
Take care of it.
So how well do we take care of what we have? I hate to keep calling on you, Brother Les, but this is something you can relate to. I have a business, you have a business, Sister Nana, you had a business, right? People have businesses. Watch this. How well do you take care of your current clients? The business owner who wants better clients, but you're not taking care of your current clients, let me tell you something right now. You're not getting better clients.
Wow.
Because you're not showing God that you take care of the clients you have. Well, I want higher paying clients. But you ain't taking care of the low. You're not taking care of the low paying clients. He who is faithful in what? And that which is least going to be faithful in what? Much. And it goes for everything, amen. Amen. It goes for everything. And God has been checking me on certain things because I've been, like, you know, like many of you, I've been praying, oh God, I want a new building, I want a new church building, I want a new church building. And God checked me, well, how well are you taking care of the one you got? Uh-oh. Huh? How well are you taking care of the one you got?
Wow.
So what's in your life? If there's something in your life that needs improvement, one of the things that you and I should do is check to see how well we're taking care of that thing.
Yes.
Amen.
The person who wants a better job, how faithful of an employee are you right now? I'm just saying, amen. Be faithful to that job. Yeah, but this job don't pay me no. It just barely pay me enough to get by. Well, that's not the question. How faithful are you in it? Amen. I'm talking to Christians now, amen. How many of you know that your boss is not paying you to be on Facebook? How many of you know that? How many of you know your boss is not paying you to be surfing the internet on Amazon, talking about it's Amazon Prime Day? How many of you know that? I'm just saying, I just heard that phrase yesterday. So amen. How many of you know that, amen? How many of you know? How many of you know your boss is not paying you so that you can keep up, amen, because now you've been watching the second season of The Wire. Game of Thrones. How many of you know that? How many of you know? How many of you know that if you got a half an hour, your boss is not paying you when you take that 45-minute lunch? How many of you know that? How many of you know that just because you need pens, that don't mean that you need to go to Staples, not to the supply closet, and take a hand? Amen? How many of you know that? Amen? How many of you know that your job is not the place where you catch up on your sleep? How many of you know that? Amen? Uh-oh. I'm just saying. And but people do that. They claim, but I want a better job. But look at how you're handling the job God has given you. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. If you want greater, be faithful with the lesser.
Yes.
Amen.
It's just a pathway to an increase. Amen. It's just a pathway to increase. Some of you know that you know, the lawyer that I have working for me is named Cap. Get Cap a shout out today. Amen. And Cap is doing a good job. Amen. And there was a time, man, he was like making too many mistakes. Sister Patricia was like, just, you know. And, you know, we work in sports and stuff. We work in baseball. And so, you know, there was times he would have his little iPad next to his computer because he would keep in track of the game, the MLB Network and stuff. But now I noticed he made too many mistakes, too many typos, too many this, too many that. So I had to tell him, I said, you know what? You're going to have to shut that down. You got to shut that down. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. And don't tell me it's not a distraction, because your work is showing me that something's distracting you and you got that thing up there. Mm-hmm. And I said, and then I put this as a kicker. And besides, I ain't paying you to watch TV.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
How many of you know that? Mm-hmm. Your boss ain't paying you to keep up with the latest stuff. He paying you to work.
Amen.
She paying you to work.
Yes.
But here's the thing. To his credit, I only had to say that to him once. He hasn't put it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this. His work has improved.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
You understand? See, now that matters. But you, well, you pay me more, I shut it down. No! right? We got to realize, be faithful in what you have.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right? Amen. Be faithful in what you have. But some people say, well, this job is not good enough for me. That's not the point. In Colossians 3, Paul said to the servant, he said, you ought to be faithful and do your job right. He's talking about servants, but how many of you know master-servant relationship is part of the employment relationship in modern times, right? And it says, he said, and do your job well, and not as men pleasers. In other words, don't do it just when people are looking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so the people have some of the quickest reflexes when they got to get off the internet when somebody walks in their office unexpectedly. Oh, you can't quit. Hey man, what's up? Oh, you can't quit to get on the internet. But so many people don't realize, man, your boss got a thing called a server. They know what you want.
Yeah.
They know what you want.
Amen.
You ain't fooling nobody.
Amen.
But some people think their job is beneath them. But do you remember when Paul was on the island of Malta? It was in Acts 28. He's on the island of Malta. Remember he got bit by the snake?
Yeah.
He got bit by the snake. Now, at this time, Paul is probably the most prominent preacher in the world.
Amen.
And they're on the island of Malta, and the evening came, and it was getting cold. And they were building a fire. Mm-hmm. Do you know how Paul got bit by the snake? Because the scripture says he was gathering a bundle of sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And a snake came out the sticks and bit his hand.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we preach about the snake biting his hand. But right now, God wants us to focus on this, that the greatest preacher at the time didn't think it was beneath him to gather up sticks.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And here we are act like things are beneath us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You work in the mail room and you think, you know, putting the right postage on the stamp or on the envelope is beneath you. That's your job.
Amen. Amen.
You're the assistant to your boss and they ask you to make copies because they're having an important meeting and you staple the thing and the staples are all out of order and then you hand it out because you didn't bother to check. Amen. And so now it's all messed up and page six of 1, 2, 7, 9, 4, 5, 6 and you just give it to them. And then your boss says to you, you messed this up. And then you go tell your friend, I don't know what they make it such a big deal over for. All they had to do was take the staple out and then just restaple and reorder all the pages were there.
Yeah.
No, you get offended, you know what I mean?
Amen.
You say, I don't know why they so mad. All the pages were out of order.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now they have a client meeting and they got to apologize for your carelessness. Mm-hmm. And then when your boss tells you, you get mad. And don't you tell them, well, what's the big deal? All the papers were there. Can I say something about what's the big deal? If you ever say in your life, what's the big deal, you will never say it again when I'm finished. What's the big deal? Why are you making such a big deal over it? Well, here's the question, right? See, God is concerned with the little deals.
Amen.
Yes. Right? He's looking to see how you handle a little deal before he gives you a big deal. He's looking to see how you handle the little money before he gives you big money. The little client before he gives you a bigger client. The little house before he gives you a bigger house. So God's concerned with the little deal. So if you're saying this is not a big deal, what are you saying? You're saying it's little. Well, that's what God's concerned with. How come you're not?
Wow.
That's number one. Number two is, if it's such a little deal, if it's such a small thing, then here's the question for you. Why can't you just do it?
Exactly. Wow.
So the next time you say, what's the big deal, is if it's on the other person, understand, it's on you. Because if it's such a little thing, why can't you do it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come on now. God is looking at how we handle little stuff to see whether or not we're going to get bigger stuff. Child, I'm praying for a new kitchen. Believe on me for a new kitchen. I need a new kitchen in my house. I need a new kitchen. I want a new kitchen. You got the kitchen books every hour, you know what I mean? The design books, all the kitchen. I got a kitchen. I'm going to get a new kitchen. But here's the thing. Let me ask you this for you who are waiting for a new kitchen. How clean is your microwave?
Oh, Lord.
If I went to your microwave right now, would I see remnants of a dish you heated up 2 weeks ago? You know how sometimes a little piece of macaroni fall behind the tray? That rice from the Chinese food, you know, it's still in there, turning with your other stuff. And how about the cover that you put on the food? If I took your cover right now and went like this, could I have enough grease to fry chicken?
Oh my God.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. You want a new kitchen, but you can't even take care of your microwave. What do you think you're showing God? They don't like me anymore, Lord. But I'm still talking truth. Amen. If you can't take care of your microwave, why should God trust you with a whole kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh, I want stainless steel appliances. I want stainless steel appliances. Let me tell you something about stainless steel appliances. They collect more fingerprints than the police.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work to keep it clean.
Amen.
Or you're just going to put it in, you ain't going to never clean it, right? Come on, somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
God is looking to see how we take care of small things and see how we're going to take care of a bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at the second thing. Let's look at Luke chapter 16. Let's look at verse number 12. This is a good one. He said, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Oh, glory to God. I bet you didn't know that how you treat that rental car, that God is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't my car. You're driving in potholes. You just looking for my car. It ain't my car. Amen. You don't care. Right? But you're going to get it back. God is watching how you're taking care of another man's stuff.
Yeah.
You borrowed your neighbor's tools. You borrowed your girlfriend's blouse. You drink water with your blouse on and you put on a whole apron. But you go to wear her blouse and you got ketchup and you like,
oh my gosh.
Well, how did I know it was going to come out like that? Well, how come you were so careless with hers, but you so careful with yours?
Yes, amen.
Why you borrow your neighbor's tools and you bring it back to him and it's broken or damaged?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get mad and say, listen, you damaged my stuff, you get mad and tell them, whoa, what's the big deal? It still works. What's the big deal? But God says, if you can't be faithful in that which belongs to somebody else, who's going to give you your home?
Exactly. Exactly.
Isn't that something? See, God is, he wants to know. And this is it. We're coming back to the job thing. So here, how many of you know there's people who are on jobs right now who are saying, I want to start my own business? Mm-hmm. Well, can I tell you something? The work that you're doing right now is somebody else's business. In other words, you work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's their business. Mm-hmm. So watch this. When you and I are slack on the job, we're slack in another person's business.
Wow.
Aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I work for her in her store, but I want to open up my own shop, but I come to work late, I don't do what I'm supposed to do in the job that she's paying me, then I'm not handling her business faithfully.
Yes.
And God says, if I can't handle her business faithfully, look what God says. Who's going to give you your own?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. God, I just want a business. God, I just want a new business. And you're fasting and praying. I'm fasting and praying. Join with me. Pray. You know, what is it? Touch and agree with me. Wait a minute. If you know somebody, say, I ain't touching and agreeing with you.
Amen.
What was our scripture reading today? God is not mocked.
That's right.
Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But see, God is saying here, listen. If you're not going to be faithful in your employer's business, why should I give you a business of your own?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you're not going to be faithful with somebody else's possessions, when you borrow your girlfriend's clothes, you need to take care of those things better than you take care of yours.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You borrow your neighbor's lawnmower, his shovel, his snow blower in the winter. He was gracious enough to let you borrow his snow blower. Take care of it.
That's right.
Amen. Don't bring it back with all clumped up with ice and no gas in it. That's not how he gave it to you.
Amen. That's right.
Come on. And we just talking right or what? Amen?
Yes.
And
yes.
Understand, God is looking at how we do these things mm-hmm. in order to say, are you ready for promotion?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for me to give you more?
Mm-hmm.
So, two things. Handle the small things and show God you're ready for bigger things, and handle other people's things in a way that shows God you're ready to have your own things.
Amen.
The last thing I wanted to point out, and we're going to end here, is actually in Luke 6:31, but we know it already. It's the golden rule, amen. We don't have to turn anywhere, right? Because this is the third and last thing we want to touch on as a pathway to a better life, pathway to increase, is to do unto others what? As you would have them
do unto you.
Yes.
Come on. That's that, right? That's scripture. That's not just some saying, right? That's Matthew 7:12. That's Luke 6:31. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because so far we've been talking about jobs and money and cars, houses, possessions, stuff like that. But there's another part of an ever-increasing life, and that's having happiness in your relationships. Having fulfillment in your relationships. Being at peace with people, getting along with people, amen. Just having, because how many of you know you and I need people? We were created for relationships.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, any person walking this earth, you know, you're in the context of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a husband, that means you're married, that means you have a wife. Same thing for the wife. You know, you have kids, you're a parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're defined because you now have somebody else. Right? In your life, right? You're an employee, you have an employer, right? I mean, we're all defined by relationships.
Yes.
No one just stands alone and is defined by something. You're just a man or a woman. But you become something and when you're seen through the prism of relationships. And God says if you want good relationships, what should you do? Do to other people as you would have them do unto you. If you want quality of life, good friendships, good healthy relationships, what should you and I do? treat people the way we want to be treated. And actually, that's part of like the second commandment that Jesus told the lawyer. What should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second one is like unto it. What? Love your neighbor as yourself. The same principle, amen? Do to them what you would have them to do back to you. So, if you want more, if you want people to respect you, what should you do?
Respect
other people. You want people to be nice to you? What should you do? Be nice to other people. That ain't hard. I need people to understand me. Understand other people. I need people to help me. Help other people. I need people to be there for me. Be there for other people. Now watch this. Some will say, but I've been doing all those things, they don't do it for me. Romans 3 and 4, let God be true. And every man a liar. God's not mocked. He said, if you will sow the thing, you'll reap the thing. So what happened when you say, well, I've been doing all these things for people, but I've been helping, they're not helping me. I've been encouraging, but they're not encouraging me. But didn't God say what? He said what? Treat other people the way you want to be treated. How many of you know that's like us planting a seed? Every time you do something, that's planting a seed. And if you plant a seed, right, what did God say? Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. Well, then something must be wrong because I've been planting and I'm not getting. See, I go back to the word. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. But also, I go back to the word too. Do you know what the word says in James chapter 5? It talks about the farmer who plants. It says the farmer, he waits. He waits for the precious fruit. And then it says, not only does he wait for the precious fruit, but it says that he has long patience for it. Sometimes the thing that we want to get back is just a long time in coming. And we don't feel like waiting.
Yeah. That's true.
But you still have to do it. Mm-hmm. You still have to do it. You have to sow the seed in faith, amen. Don't let people rob you of being kind and helpful and giving and understanding and generous simply because they're not giving it back to you. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, wait a minute. But God said, but you said that God said that if I sow it, I'm going to get it back. You will. But what does it say? Do not be weary in what?
Well doing
because what? At just the right time,
you shall reap
if you
faint not. Amen.
How many people have fainted, given up, or quit before their harvest came in? I don't know. But I believe a lot of people have. Don't let that happen to you, amen. You don't let people rob you of your promised harvest. You continue to treat people the way God wants you to treat them. Now, I am going to say this. There are some people who simply want to take advantage of you.
Yes.
I'm not going to ignore that. Right? And I'm just going to give it in the simplest term. Right? You help somebody. You give them some money when they need it. Mm-hmm. They go, whoa. Because they went everywhere else. Couldn't find anybody to help them, but you helped them. Oh.
Yeah.
File that away. Next time they need help, oh. And you help them again. And next thing you know, what happens? They just keep climbing. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about people who take advantage of you, but see, here's the thing that I believe people make mistakes. I see this on Judge Judy all the time. My wife loves watching Judge Judy. Mm. All rise. Your Honor, this is the case of Smith versus Jones. The parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Thank you, Officer Byrd. Say the same thing in front of every case.
Yeah.
But when people get into arguments, Brother Les, you know what happened? Like, they'll loan money to people, and then they'll come out, they'll be, you know, they get interviewed, and they'll go, never loan money to family. Never do business with strangers. Right? They come up with these rules because they got burned by one person.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's it. I'm never going to do anything for anybody else again. I'm never going to help anybody for the rest of my life. But some of us do that, right? because somebody disappointed us. Yes. Somebody took advantage of us. And now people draw a bright line. I'm not doing that anymore.
Mm. Yep.
Don't do that, amen. Here's the thing. Glory to God. If you find somebody who's just trying to leech off you or take advantage of you, you say, you know what? Jesus has made unto me wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore because all you're doing is taking advantage of me.
Yeah.
That's fine. But watch this. Now find somebody else to sow into.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't cut off everybody else, but just continue sowing into other people's lives.
Yeah.
Just not this. Find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the bottom line is you're still treating people the way you want to be treated. Don't become a mean old person. Don't let people turn you into a mean old person if that's not who you are.
Yeah.
Because they treated you mean or they disrespected you or dishonored you. You continue to walk in your integrity.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's what separates the true people of God. That you walk in your integrity even in the midst of adversity and wrongdoing. People treat you wrong, but you don't lose your integrity. I'm still going to live by this word of God. I'm still going to help people. I'm still going to be there for people. I'm still going to encourage people.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because ultimately, those are the kinds of things I want in my life. So keep doing it. Just know, okay, the people who are using me, I'm cutting you off. But you know what? I was giving over here, but now I need somebody else that I need to give to. Amen? And just find somebody else to sow into their life. I see a lot of mistakes people make when they make those bright rules, right? I'm not doing this anymore. Do you know what you're doing? You're withdrawing from people and you're withdrawing from life. First natural, then spiritual. How many people know? If you have a bank account, how do you get more money in your bank account?
Putting it in your
right, you got to make
deposits.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if you make withdrawals? Do you have more money or less money? You have less money. That ain't hard.
Right.
So how many of you know that every time you treat people right, you give them respect and dignity and honor and help and encouragement and all these good things that God smiles down upon, how many of you know you're making deposits? Your life got to be increased. Because you're making deposits. You're sowing more seed. Oh,
yeah.
Your life got to be better. But if you're going to be like them Judge Judy people and say, I'm not doing anything for anybody. You know what you're doing? You're withdrawing yourself.
Mm.
And how... Somebody please tell me, how does withdrawal lead to increase?
Mm.
Does it work with your money?
No.
I'm going to withdraw everything I got. And I'm going to live off the rest. How does that work? Amen? Continue to make deposits. Continue to make deposits. Continue to do well and do right for people. Continue to treat people the way you want to be treated. Do you know that this principle actually empowers us so much? Because all you have to do is look in at your life and see what you don't have enough of. And whatever it is that you look around that you don't have enough of, that is what you should give.
Amen.
People think that the way to abundance is to give out of your abundance. No, the way to abundance is to give out of your lack.
That's right.
I don't have enough peace. Then stop being a troublemaker. Amen?
Amen.
Be a peacemaker. Amen? I don't have enough help. Be more of a help to other people, not less. Not less. Be more. Why? Because what you're doing is exercising this principle of I'm going to do unto other people what I would have them do unto me.
Amen.
We bring into our lives whatever it is we give out. That's not true because I am What do you mean it's not true? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Be not weary in
well-doing
because in due season you shall reap. Is that scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Matters closed. Amen. Don't give me your little one example that you think shows that what God says is not true. You just gave up. He told you don't quit. You quit. I'm not going to quit doing right by people. I don't care how many people hurt me. You hear what I say?
Yeah.
I don't care how many people hurt me. I'm not going to stop doing right by people.
Amen. Amen.
Because as long as I'm on this earth, I want people to treat me right.
Amen.
Now, there's some people who don't want to treat me right, who aren't going to treat me right, but guess what? That's between them and God.
That's right.
But I'm talking about myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let them put myself in a bad situation because they didn't treat me right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm still going to love on people. I'm still going to help people. I'm still going to do the best I can to be there for people. Amen? And I don't care how many people stab me in the back. Here's the other thing. If everything you plant is a seed, if you withdraw from helping people, you're not planting any more seeds.
Yeah.
If you're not planting any more seeds, then what right do you have to expect a harvest?
Mm-hmm.
You would call a farmer a fool if he stopped planting wheat but still expected his land to produce wheat.
Yep. Right.
You would call him a fool. Mm-hmm. So here you are saying, I'm not going to do anything for anybody else, but you expect people to help you. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. Amen? Continue to give, man. Continue to do right by people. Amen? Amen? Continue to treat them the way you want to be treated. Continue to give them respect and honor and all those good things. Amen? Treat people right. Because God's watching that too.
Yeah.
Amen.
And God will make sure that people will come into your life to give to you what you've given out to other people. He's faithful that way, amen? So here's the conclusion of the matter, amen? If we want more out of this life, that abundant life to the fullest and overflows, a better quality of life, praise be unto God, it is up to us. God has given us power. I'm not saying like, you know, when I say up to us, I'm not trying to be presumptuous and make it seem like God. Listen, everything flows back to God. But I'm talking about that God has placed us in the position of power. And I don't think we have really and fully realized and operated in the power he's given us here. Because maybe it's too simple. If you want more out of your life, if you want better, if you want greater, be faithful in the little bit that you have right
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Simple principle, but it's powerful. Amen? Amen. Amen. Take care of your old pair of shoes. Amen. I only got one suit. Take care of it. Just because it's one suit don't mean it got to be dirty.
That's right. Amen.
Am I telling the truth? Just because it's one suit doesn't mean it has to be dirty.
Exactly.
I only got one pair of black shoes. Polish them. Polish them. I got a studio apartment. Let it be clean. Can you know if you can't clean an apartment, how can you clean a four-bedroom house?
Exactly.
That's right.
I want four bedrooms, three baths. I'm scared to go into your bathroom now. I'd rather go in the park and get into the porta johnny.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry, Lord, but I just had that picture in my head. Take care of what you have.
Amen.
I'll tell you this right now. When people get in your car, if you got to take all kinds of stuff out of the front seat before they can get in. Come on, somebody. Come on now. Come on.
Oh my
God. I'm not talking about you got a truck. I'm talking about that's your car. That's your car. You know, this is not no work vehicle. This is your car. Mm-hmm. I have people get in my car and they say to me, man, your car is clean. What do you expect? I'm the only one in it. I don't have kids. I don't have a dog. I don't have any of those things. If my car's not clean, shame on me.
Amen.
What am I saying to God? If in a situation like that, I can't keep my stuff in. Now, you got seven kids. I get it, amen. It's going to be hard. I understand. Do the best you can. But if it's just you in that car every day, mm-hmm. driving up and down the road, that car better be clean.
Amen.
Come
That's
on.
True.
So listen, you want more, you want better, you want greater, God has given you the power. Show him you can be faithful in the lesser thing that you have.
Amen.
And he'll position you to get more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The second thing is, be faithful with that which belongs to somebody else. Right? You're an employee, be faithful in that business. That's somebody else's business. Be faithful. And maybe God gave you your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Some people right now, they work in the ministry, and they're not faithful to the pastor that they're supposed to be serving.
Mm-hmm.
But you want your own ministry. Be faithful in the ministry that you're in.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
huh? Be faithful in the ministry that you're in, and then God will give you something of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Teenager, amen, you're driving your mom's car. Be faithful with her car if you expect to get your own car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Be faithful in that which belongs to somebody else so that God will give you your own. And then the last thing is, if you want people to treat you a certain way, treat other people the same way. And don't talk about I do that and it don't work. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen?
Amen.
Because your seed's sown. And the Bible says this in Genesis 8:22. It says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. In the New King James, in the King James Version, it says seed time and harvest. It says seed time is one word. But I've seen some versions that actually say seed, comma, time, and harvest. So it makes it three things. And I believe that that's probably more accurate. I mean, because how many of you know that if you plant seed, you're going to have to give it time before you get a harvest?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right? And God says, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest will never cease.
Yes.
And so, don't say that it doesn't work. If you plant the seed and you give it enough time, you will reap the harvest. And isn't that consistent with Galatians 6, 7, and 10? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if we put these things in the Word, if we're faithful with the least, if we're faithful with other people's things, and if we treat other people the way we want to be treated, planting those seeds along the way, we will experience increase in our life, both in terms of material things, spiritual things, relational things. We'll have a better life. So you know what that says? No, none of us can be heard to complain about the quality of our life, because we have the power to do something about it. And the last thing I'm going to say is this. If you want what God has for you, you, and I'm talking myself, if we want what God has for us, then we're going to have to do things God's way. And what we talked about today is God's way for his people to have an ever-increasing life. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want to try something else, go ahead and try it. Let's talk in 6 months and let me know how it's working out.
Amen.
Amen. Or we can try something today and let God and his spirit go to work in our life, and so that God can be shown to be true. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's rest on our feet and pray today. Amen. We're on the pathway to an increasing life. Amen. How many want to say, that's me, that's me, that's me.
Amen.
My life's going to get better.
Amen.
My life's going to get better because I'm going to walk in simple principles of God, and the power of God's word is going to go to work. Father, we bless you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless you for what we've heard, God.
Yes.
Father, you've spoken unto us simple words, oh God, but in the simplicity lies the power.
Yes.
That Father, you said that if we're faithful, at least we'll be faithful also in much. You said, God, that if we're faithful with another man, then we will receive our own.
Yeah.
And Father, you've told us, oh God, that if we want something in our lives, if we want people to treat us a certain way, then we should treat them the way we want to be treated.
Yes.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We believe that there's a power released when we do what you say. That we release the grace, we receive the grace. Grace for grace. And so, Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you now, help us to walk in the Word, oh God. Help us not to simply nod our heads in agreement or to feel good for a moment or two. But God, let us walk out this Word for the rest of our days on this earth. Because Father, we believe that, God, that the truth of the Word will be revealed. That testimonies will break out, oh God. That,
yes.
that all the great things that you're doing, giving people promotions and new jobs, new opportunities,
yes.
greater ministries, greater possessions, oh God, greater peace and joy and all kinds of good things, stronger relationships, stronger marriage, oh God. Father, we believe that as we walk it out, our lives shall be increased.
Yes,
God. It shall be made better. And so, Father, we just ask you by your Spirit to help us to walk the word out that we heard on this day and to make it a consistent part of our lives in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we give you the praise and thanks for doing it. And so, Father, we just thank you now, God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let us have faith in what you have revealed unto us, O God, and not get sidetracked for one moment. The things that the enemy wants to whisper in our ears.
Yes.
Amen. But let us just keep our ears and our hearts inclined unto you, that we can hear your still small voice. And upon hearing, let us be quick, O God, to walk in the revelation that you give us.
Yes.
We thank you for doing it. We thank you for doing it both now and in the future. And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Has God really said...
Mm-hmm.